the divine power of our words. This is a topic that is both simple and yet profound. The power of our words. As Christians, we understand that our words matter. They do hold immense power in shaping our lives and the lives of those around us. But do we truly grasp the power that is in the words? Do we recognise that every time we speak, we carry the potential to either glorify God or grieve Him? As we look at the power of the Word of God and we reflect on the Word of God today, let's understand what it means to use our speech wisely, to speak life into every situation, to honour God with our words. Our foundational scripture is there on the screen, Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I'm sure over the years you've met those people who just love to talk. They seem to enjoy the sound of their own voice far more than anything else in the world. It could be a politician. It could be a famous celebrity. It could be the person sitting next to you right now. I'm not saying anything. But let's face it, not every word that we say is useful. Not every word we say builds up someone else, builds us up, or gives glory to God. Our theme this year is transformed by truth. And words should transform the world in which we live and our own hearts and minds. So the first point is words that speak life. From the very beginning of the Bible, we see that God himself used words to create life. In Genesis 1:3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Hebrew word for said is amar, and it means to speak or declare. And it was God's word that brought this universe into existence. His words, they had and have the power to create. God's words are unstoppable. When he speaks, things happen. We, as bearers of God's image, our words also carry the power to create. Not on the cosmic level, but in the lives of those around us. Jesus tells us in Matthew 12:36 and 37, "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." Every word we speak, God is listening. The world is listening. We must speak words that bring life, that bring light, that bring encouragement, that bring change and transformation. Jesus reminds us that every word matters. Time for a Greek lesson. Does anyone know what the Greek word for idol is? Strangely, it's argos. Argos means lazy, careless, or unproductive. I kind of think the marketing people of the chain of shops called Argos missed out on the meaning of that word. We at times can be lazy. We at times can be careless. And at times we can be unproductive. God doesn't want us going on like a machine, just grinding through the motions. But he also doesn't want us to be idle, to sit back, to watch the world heading to a lost eternity. He wants us to be part of his plan of salvation and speak life where there's darkness. Speak light where there's darkness. God has called us to actually serve him, to tell others about him. And Jesus warns us that our words can speak life or they can speak damage. And we are held accountable for them. Picture a gardener for a moment tending to their garden. Every word we speak is like a seed planted in the hearts of others. If we speak life-giving words, those seeds will grow into something beautiful. But if we speak words that are negative, if we speak words that are destructive, those seeds will bear bad fruit. We must be diligent with every word that we speak. We must speak a word in season. We must speak a word in truth. And there are times when we will offend others by what we say. But that shouldn't stop us from speaking truth. Someone once said that you can change your world by changing your words. And we need to remember that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words have the power to change atmospheres, to shift situations, to bring hope where there is despair. Second point, words that heal. The Bible often speaks about the power of words. In Proverbs 16, verse 24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. I love the imagery of honey that's used here. That was something that was highly valued in biblical times. They used it not just for food, but for the healing properties and the sweet taste it gave. The Hebrew word for kind is na'am. It means pleasantness or delight. There's a serious pleasure involved when we hear the word of God. The word of God is like honey to us. It is sweet. Yes, there are words from God that are difficult to understand, difficult to accept, but it is still the word of God. And the word of God is perfect and it is true. When we speak kind words, when we hear kind words spoken to us, they can be like a balm for our soul. They bring healing to those who are hurting. They bring trust to those who are fearful. And they bring life and salvation to those who are lost. God can speak, God can move, God can act through the power of his word. James, the half-brother of Jesus, he speaks about the destructive potential of the tongue. James 3, verses 5 and 6. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. Many of us know this to be true. We've heard other people speak destruction into our lives or the lives of those that we know. And quite often, something that someone just says as an aside smoulders within us, and we can allow it to consume us. But the only fire we should allow ourselves to be consumed by is the fire of the Holy Spirit. That is something that brings change and transformation. That is something that burns away the dross that's in our lives. The words that others speak may bring destruction, but the word of God brings life, brings creation, brings truth. Here, James warns us of the tongue's power. There is immense damage if the tongue is not controlled. The Greek word used here for fire is per, which it metaphorically represents a destructive force, the destructive force of uncontrolled speech. And just as fire can destroy, it can also refine. Our words, when guided by the Holy Spirit, can bring healing and restoration. Just as God, he speaks, and healing and restoration comes. Think of the number of times it's recorded in the Bible where Jesus just spoke a word and a miracle happened. For those that thought it was impossible, Jesus showed that nothing is impossible with God. Imagine for a moment a surgeon performing a delicate operation. The tools that they use have the potential to either heal or harm, depending on how they're used. In the same way, our words can be instruments of healing or tools of destruction. We need to use our words with care and with precision. We need to think before we speak. Elsewhere, James tells us how we need to be slow to anger. And sometimes when we speak, we might speak in anger. There might be something that's upset us, something that we just are indignant about, but often we need to pause. And sometimes instead of just counting to 10, we might need to count to 100 before we speak. I'm sure we've all been there at times where we've said something. Yeah, I wish I hadn't said that. Now, if you know people who forgive quite easily, it might not be such a problem. But if we're honest about it, we find it hard to forgive when someone says something against us. How much more should we be offended when someone says something against God? How much more should we be offended when we hear the name Jesus used as a swear word? We don't perhaps get as indignant as we should do about the right things. Pastor and minister Stephen Furtick, he said this: "Your words have the power to bring healing and hope. Speak life over yourself and others, and watch God work through your words." Wise advice, isn't it? Watch God work. God is at work every day. All around us, God is doing 10,000 things that we don't even notice, 100,000 things that we don't even notice. God is always active. God is always doing. And maybe sometimes we're just too busy to stop and look, or stop and listen. How often does God prompt us through the Holy Spirit, whispering something to us that we need to listen to, and we just dismiss it or push it aside? "You want me to do what, God?" "No, sorry, that doesn't fit in with my agenda. I mean, it's already 19 minutes past 11, and I know there are people who've got their dinner in the oven at home. And Holy Spirit, we pray for revival, but don't come now, because I don't want my chicken to burn." God's word needs to be central to our lives. And when God calls us to do something, we need to listen. Pastor Lloyd, going out there with the other 9 ministers, 10 in total, to Estonia, to go and witness, to minister, to do practical things like chopping wood. I wonder if I'd have asked you lot, anyone want to go to Estonia this week? You might have all said yes, until I finish the sentence and go and witness and proclaim the gospel and do practical stuff. And then suddenly it'll be, "Well, no, I really wanted to go for a holiday and I wanted to go for a rest. And I can't chop wood." I mean, can you imagine Linda running around with an axe? You would be dangerous. Yes. Yes. I'm not sure who'd be the most dangerous in this room with an axe. Yeah. That'll give me nightmares. God calls, we need to respond. When God speaks, we need to move. He might just be asking us to pray for someone else. This morning when we come to our time of prayer, he may be telling you to pray for the person sitting next to you, sitting in front of you, behind you. You don't have to rely on the pastor to pray, because we are the body of Christ. We are equal. And what we're doing is we're bringing our prayers, our petitions, our requests to our Father. You don't have to wait for a minister to do that. Each of us can do that, because we're all part of the body of Christ. We can speak healing words this morning, words that need to be spoken in love and in truth. And God can mend broken hearts. He can restore situations. He is the great physician, the great healer. Third point, words that transform. The ultimate goal of our words should be transformation, both in our own lives and the lives of others. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 12:2 that we're not to copy the behaviour and the customs of this world, but let God transform us into a new person by changing the way that we think. The Greek word that's used in that for transform is metamorpho. It refers to not just a slight change, but a complete radical change. Think of like when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. That is something that is radically different to what it was before. And friends, we can have radical change in our lives. We can experience radical transformation. God's already brought us from darkness into his marvelous light. He's already brought us from being on a path of eternal destruction to a path that leads us to an eternity with him. God has already done so much in our lives. We can trust him. He loves us. But we need to align ourselves with his purposes, not the ways of the world. The world has many strange customs, and they seem to be getting stranger by the day. But God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he loves us and cares for us. And he's given us a way of salvation. And he's the one who tells us to control our tongue. Colossians 4:6, "Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in every situation we let God speak through us rather than we just chose our own words? Wouldn't it be wonderful if in every conversation we reacted the way that God wanted us to? To be gracious. Charis is grace in the Greek. It means grace or favour. Friends, we need much grace. We need much grace just to live our daily lives. And when our speech is full of grace, it reflects the transformative power of the gospel that's already taken place in our lives. I've used the analogy before, but think of a sculpture chiseling away at a block of marble. Every word we speak is like a chisel that shapes and moulds ourselves and the people around us. When we speak words in love, in truth, in grace, we allow God to shape us into the image of Christ. It was pastor and author John Piper who said, "Our words carry the power of transformation. When we speak the truth of the gospel, God uses our words to bring about change that leads to eternal life." You know, friends, our goal should be that everyone that we know who as yet does not know Jesus as Lord and Saviour would discover the way to eternal life for themselves. Our faith will save us. There are people who need faith to be saved for themselves. We need to speak. We need to bring truth. Truth that's grounded in Scripture. When we meet someone, when we talk to them, what we say, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, that we might speak words that bring transformation by the power of God moving and at work in people's lives. As we conclude the sermon and move into a time of prayer, I want you to remember that your words matter. Your words, they have the power to create, the power to heal, the power to transform. And when we pray according to God's will, God will move. God will act. And friends, our words, our speech, it's not just a matter of daily conversation. Our words and our speech must be a spiritual discipline, and we must allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. As we pray this morning, be intentional in your words. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak life, healing, and transformation into every situation. And as you go into this week, take a moment to reflect on how your words will impact those around you. And then let's watch as we see God use his word, his perfect word, to bring life and light and change into a broken and damaged world. God is able. We can trust him. And we can be transformed by the truth of his word when we listen and when we act. May God bless his word to us this morning. If we're honest, all of us have got things going on in our lives that we need God to deal with. Circumstances in our families, circumstances with our friends, where we want to see God move. If that's you, if you have someone, or even in your own life, something that needs a touch from God, can I just ask you to stand right now? You can stand in God's presence as a proxy for someone else, or you can stand for yourself. Your neighbour, your friend, your colleague, person that you know is just suffering right now. I ask you to just do something simple. Just reach out your hands, palms up towards God. Father, we stand before you. And Lord, we are thankful that we can open our hands and open our hearts to you, knowing that you are a God who cares, that you are a God of reconciliation and restoration. In our hearts right now, Lord, we name before you those that need a touch from you. Those who need to see you move in a radical way within their lives. And we lift ourselves before you as well, Lord. Lord, examine us. Lord, we know that we are broken. We know that we're works in progress. We know, Lord, that we can come before you with our hands outstretched, knowing that you will grasp our hands, knowing that you will walk with us, knowing that you will lead us day by day. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us every day. Thank you for the promise that your grace is sufficient for us. Thank you that at the cross you not only purchased our salvation, but you purchased our healing too. We give ourselves to you again afresh this morning. We bring to you, Lord, those that are suffering, those who are in pain, our friends, our family, our loved ones. And we ask, Lord, that you will move. Move by your power. Move in your glory. And we give you praise for what you are already doing. And thank you, Lord, for everything is a gift from you. May we speak words of life, words of encouragement, and may you speak words of life, change and transformation. In Jesus' name, amen.